Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Avodah Zarah Daf Chof Vav. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. On Daf Chof Vav, Amud Aleph, toward the upper part of the page, we have a Mishnah. The Mishnah discusses halachas concerning assisting in birth, serve as a midwife, a Jewish woman for a Gentile woman. In addition, we will discuss the issue of nursing, serving as a wet nurse. The Mishnah. Bas Yisrael lo siyaled es ha'ovedes kechovim, mitnei shimiyaledes ben lavodes kechovim. A Jewish woman is prohibited from serving as a midwife for a idol-worshipping woman because, in effect, one is bearing a child to end up becoming an idol-worshipper. Avol, oivedes kechavim mialedes bas Yisrael. However, it is permissible for an idol-worshipping woman to serve as a midwife for a Jewish woman. Bas Yisrael, lo sonik b'no shel oivedes kechavim. A Jewish woman shall not serve as a wet nurse for the child of an idol-worshipping person. Avol, oivedes kechavim meniko b'no shel Yisrael. However, a Gentile and an idol-worshipping woman can serve as a wet nurse to nurse the Jewish child in the domain, in the home of the Jewish party. The Gemara. Before we begin the Gemara, we take note of our markings. We have a diamond, and we have a note on the outside margin under the Nosei, Mivneh heading, topic heading, and structural note we've combined. We see a diamond featured. Shnei Mekoros, there are two sources that we will see. Echod Be'inyan Hoylodes Tinoikos, one in the context of serving as midwife. V'sheni V'ha Noka, the second one regarding serving as wet nurse. You can see, if you look in the Gemara text, to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text itself, we have a number 1, and in a diamond, at which point in the Gemara you see the first Tanaic source presented. That will deal with helping in birth. And the second, if you skim down the page, you'll run into a diamonded number 2 featuring an additional source dealing with nursing. Tonu Rabbanan. We've also introduced a double underline to help emphasize when we're talking about an idol worshipper and a Bas Yisrael. Tana Rabbanan, Bas Yisrael lo siyaled es ha'ivedes kechavim. A Jewish woman shall not serve as a midwife in helping an idol worshipping woman give birth. Mitnei shimiyaledes ben lavedes kechavim, because by doing that one would be helping bear a child that will serve idols. This is an opinion that is different than that which we saw in the Mishnah. This opinion, we'll see momentarily, it's that of Rabbi Meir. He says that a Gentile or an Avedes Kechavim, a heathen woman, shall not serve as a midwife. Lo Sialed is Bas Yisrael, shall not serve as a midwife to help a Jewish woman give birth. Mipnei Shechashudim al Shvichus Domim, because they, the idol worshippers, are suspect of committing murder. Divrei Rabbi Meir. That's Rabbi Meir's opinion. V'chachomim omrim, Avedes Kechavim, Mialedes es Bas Yisrael, an idol worshipping woman is allowed to serve as a midwife. Bizman Shachiris Oimbeis al Gabo. Only if others are standing by her, in other words, the Gentile woman is helping the birth process while other people are looking on. The first opinion, by the way, that says that Avedis Kohavim cannot. That is saying even if other Jewish women are looking on, she is not allowed to serve as a midwife. The Gentile woman shall not serve as a midwife. The opinion of the Chumash says that if others are looking on, then the Gentile woman can serve, however, not in private. The Gemara now has a long point, and we've indicated that by a nun that you see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara with a dashed vertical line, indicating that all of the lines opposite this nun represent nikuda, a point, form the point that is being made. And now what we are going to see is Rabbi Meir's response. Rabbi Meir, Omer, afilu achirs ondos agaba, even if others are present while the Gentile woman is serving as midwife for the Jewish birth, nami loy, it's also unacceptable. De zimnin de mancha le yoda apusa, because even if others are watching, there's a very easy, we'll call action, sleight of hand, if you will, whereby she, the midwife, can place her hand on the forehead of the baby, a section of the head of the skull of a newborn, whereby the bones have not joined together yet. It's a soft spot, we'll call it. And if pressure is applied there, by depressing one's finger over there, one can kill the infant. And that's what's being described here. That we'll read that a line again. De zimnin de mancha le yoda apusa, the katla le veloy mischazi. And she can katlas to kill, and it won't be noticed by others that she killed it. Ki ahi itza, and as is illustrated in the following little incident. There was once a woman, itza is a woman, the omra lechaverta, she said to her friend, she tried to insult her. These are two Gentile women having it out with each other. So she tries to insult her by saying, Molda Yudaisa, Bas Molda Yudaisa, you're a woman that helps Jews give birth, the daughter of a woman who helps Jews give birth, intending to insult her. Omra La, so the other woman responds, you're calling me a midwife that benefits Jews. Nefishin bishta dahi itza, you should have as much bad luck, as much evil should befall you, as much as the komashpilna minayu doma ki ufya dinahara, as much as the blood that I have spilled and killed of them as there is foam in the rivers. What is she saying? She was responding by saying, you think I helped them? You have no idea how many of them, of the Jewish babies, I kill. I kill while serving as midwife. And according to that number that I kill, you should suffer. In other words, a lot. So what do we see from this? We see, and this is the point that Rabbi Meir is making, that they are able to get away with it because of this ability to kill while the child is being born, and no one will notice it by, as we said before, by pressing down on the soft spot of the newborn's head. The Rabbanan who allow when others are watching. What would their response be to this little story? So the Rabbanan Omrule, they say back to Rabbi Meir, Lohi, that story is of no proof. She was simply responding by some, you know, any kind of response that came to mind. And it's not a reflection of what she actually did. It was her way of getting back at her. Bas Yisrael lo tonik. The second halacha of the Mishnah was that a Jewish woman should not serve as a wet nurse to nurse the newborn of a Gentile woman. Tanu Rabbanan, Bas Yisrael lo sonik bino shel levedes kechavim, b'nei shemegadeles ben levedes kechavim, because she's helping raise a boy, a child for the idol. Of course, you notice how the verbs change. In the first source, it was miyaledes ben levedes kechavim, and here it's megadeles ben levedes kechavim, and you can see that we've tried to accentuate that with our dashed underline. Continuing in this source, Vavidus Kehovim, Lo Sonik as Benol Shel Bas Yisrael, a heathen woman shall not nurse a Jewish infant, that Nei Shechashuda Shvichas Domim, Divrei Rabbi Meir, because she, the idol worshipping woman, is suspect of committing murder. Vachachomim Omrim, Vavidus Kehovim, Miniko es Benol Shel Bas Yisrael, Bisman Shacherus Oimdois Al Gabo, Avolo Beino Levino. The same type of shita they are adopting over here in the case of the wet nurse, that is, a Gentile woman is allowed to serve as wet nurse for a Jewish infant, provided others are watching, but not in private. Vir Rabbi Meir, Omer, Afilu Achirus Omdos Agabo, Nami Loi. Even if others are watching, we still do not allow the Gentile woman to serve as wet nurse. Why not? The zimnin the shayfal they sama ledod me avroy vekat lole. There is a possibility that she, the Gentile wet nurse, could smear on her body, on her breast, some poison, smear it around the point that the child will nurse, and she'll smear it on before she gets to the room in which she's going to nurse the child, even though in the room itself there are other people. But she was able to smear this poison on her body before she was in the company of others, and thereby the katalei, and thereby the kid will be killed. At this point, the Gemara does a tzrichusa. We've called this a long point. You can see this by the nun that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. The point lasts all the lines of Gemara that are opposite the vertical dashed line following the nun. These lines of Gemara are designed to show why it's important or necessary to teach the two examples and the machlokas twice. In effect, it appears that it's the same machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chumim, both in the case of serving as midwife and serving as wet nurse. So what is the necessity of teaching both machlokasim? Would it not have been enough to teach the machlokas in the case of one, and I could figure out that they would adopt the same stance with regard to the second case as well? So we're saying no, we wouldn't have been able to conclude one from the other, and that's what the Gemara explains now. Utsricha, I need both examples and the machlokis in both cases. The e ashmina mialedis, had we taught you only the case of midwife, behahi ka'amri rabbonan deshari, in that case alone the rabbonan may have said that it will allow the lo efsher mishum lacheros erois oisa, because in the case of giving birth, the place of the birth is secured by the fact that others are watching. So, because others are watching, the Gentile woman will not be able to get away with the murder. Avo minika, but in the case of the wet nurse, the idea of others helping, of others present, and that allowing for a leniency might not have been self-understood, because because of that possibility of her smearing poison on her breast before she gets to the house of the Jewish Jewish mother, where the infant is going to be nursed. So Amal, I would have thought, Moedin Le, the Rebbe Meir, that the Rabbonan might have admitted or conceded to Rebbe Meir that it would be forbidden. In other words, that we can't rely on the Acherus Omdos Al Gabo. Therefore, I had to teach, in addition to the case of the Mialedes, the case of the wet nurse as well, that the Rabbonan do allow it. Viashmin and Minika, had we taught only the case of the wet nurse, Bahikum Rabbi Meir the Osir, maybe only there Rabbi Meir would have restricted it, Mishum de Shaifaloi Sam Ladad before the Kakle, because of the fear of the smearing of the poison, and she'd be able to get away with the murder. Avo Mialedis, the Lo Epsher Hecha the Acheres Oimdes Agabo, but in the case of giving birth, of the serving as midwife, where others are present, I might have thought that Rabbi Meir would be lenient and Ema Moidi Le Lehu the Rabbonan, that he would concede to the Rabbonan and allow. Sricha, therefore I have to tell you Rabbi Meir's position in the case, I have to tell you his position in the case of midwife as well. And once again, if I taught you only the case of the machlokus in the case of nursing, maybe there and only there Rebbe Meir is restrictive, but in the case of midwife, Rebbe Meir would concede a lenient position to the Rabbanan. Therefore, we have to be told, no, that in the case of Mialetis, Rebbe Meir restricts it as well. Viraminu, we now raise an objection from the following source to everything that was said above. The source says, Yehudis Mialetis, Ivedis Kechavim, Bischar Avaloi Bechinam. A Jewish woman is allowed to serve as a midwife for a Gentile woman giving birth if there is pay. If the Jewish woman is being paid, she's allowed to serve as midwife. Now, according to all the opinions that we've seen till now, a Bas Yisrael is not allowed to serve as midwife for an idol-worshipping woman. So the Gemara answers, Omar of Yosef, Bischar Shari. In fact, if the Jewish woman is being paid, it is allowed. And the Mishnah that's Aser, the Mishnah that forbade, that was talking about a case of serving as midwife gratis, for nothing. And Rav Yosef adds that if for pay, it's mutter, mishum eva, because if there's pay being offered, and the Jewish woman would refuse even under those circumstances, then it would cause strife and strain between Jews and Gentiles. And we find in Halacha many, many examples of leniencies that are ruled because of the fear of inter-community tension. Before we go further in the Gemara, we have a new geometric form that we want to take note of, and also a topic heading that you'll find in the outside margin. We see the Nosei Mivneh. We have triangles with their tips colored in. This, of course, is to distinguish them from triangles that were seen prior to this. We had triangles on the previous sugya. Well, let us make a correction here in the markings. These triangles are without colored in tips as to distinguish them from triangles that were seen on the previous Omid with colored in tips. So these are uncolored, and you have a description on the side, Sidra shel halachas she sover Rav Yosef. There is a series of halachas in which Rav Yosef will present his opinion, the im hagoy muchon l'shalem, that if the Gentile is willing to pay for the particular service or event, then e'efshir l'sarev, then it would be usher, forbidden to refuse, mishum chashash eva, because of the fear of creating inter-community tension. Sovar Rav Yosef l'meimar. Before we go further, let's also draw our attention to the squiggle underline emphasis. Here we have Olodi, and the next one you see will be Anuki. The first issue will be concerning serving as midwife, the second serving as wet nurse. A third example will come in later, which will have to be dealt with on its own. But the first example is Sovar Rav Yosef Lameimar, Olodi Ovedes Kechavim B'Shabato B'Schar Shori Mishum Eva, that it would be allowed to serve as midwife in helping an idol-worshipping woman give birth on Shabbos if pay is being offered, because to refuse that would be a situation, to refuse to serve as a paid midwife would create tension. Omale Abaye. Abaye refutes this or rejects this and says, even if there's pay, that doesn't give license to serve as midwife for idol-worshipping woman. Yochlo lemeimar lo, the midwife could say to the idol-worshipping woman, didon dimintari shabbato mechalinon olayu. Jewish people who observe the Shabbos, we can violate the Shabbos for them. Didchu dolomintari shabbata, but you people who do not observe the Shabbos, lo mechalinan, so we can't violate the Shabbos for you. In other words, we can offer a reasonable excuse, something that appeals to the logic, that would create a distinction without creating tension. And therefore, Abaye argues that there is no license to serve as midwife for idol-worshipping women, because under no circumstances is there Eva, even if pay is being offered. Sovar of Yosef Lemeimar, Anuki Bishar Shori Mishum Eva, that a woman, a Jewish woman, could serve as wet nurse if she is being offered, because to refuse that would cause tension. Omar Le Abaye. Abaye once again responds to Rav Yosef and says, Yochlo Lemeimar, the Jewish wet nurse, could say the following. If she happens to be I Pnuyahi, if the speaker is unmarried, then she could say, listen, I don't want to nurse because Bo'ino Lin Subi, I want to get married. And I want to get married and have children, and by constantly nursing, I'm going to be thwarting my efforts. Eishes Ishi, if the wet nurse that's being offered the money to nurse happens to be a married woman, she can nevertheless also offer an excuse and say, listen, lo ko mizdahamno ba'api gavra, I don't want to be ugly or reprehensible in the eyes of my husband. In other words, if I'm nursing especially someone else's child, that's going to cause my husband to find me less attractive, if you will, and therefore that's why I don't want to serve as wet nurse. That's why I don't want to nurse, but not because of some kind of, we'll say, discriminatory reason. And since such an excuse can be offered, there will be no reason for tension or eva. Sovar of Yosef Lemeimar. Once again, Rav Yosef feels that the following can be changed because of an eva consideration if pay is being offered. And what's the case? The Brisa says, "Ho'evdei kechavim v'roi behem adako," idol worshippers and Jews that shepherd around their own sheep and goats, those are roe behem adako, loy ma'alin v'loy meridin, if they happen to fall into a pit. So the Brisa says that one is not to help them exit the pit. However, on the other hand, one is not allowed to kill them. One's not allowed to shove them into a pit. So we've dashed, underlined the lo malin, that we are not to extricate them. However, comes in Rav Yosef and says, asuki beschar shori mishum eval, even though we are told not to save them. However, if one is offered pay to help extricate them from the pit, then it would be allowed. In other words, one would not be able to refuse assisting the Ovei Kehovim in the pit, because if he's being offered money for saving him and he would still refuse, that would cause tension. Omar Le Abaye. Abaye, with regard to this as well, says, even if pay is being offered, the Jew is not allowed to help the idol worshipper get out of the pit. And you'll ask, what about Eva? So to that, Yocho Lomar Lo, the Jew can say, hey, I can't stop to help you. Koi Bri Aigra, my son is on the roof about to fall off. In other words, I've got to run. I can't stop here to help you, even if you're offering me pay. I got to go run to save my son. So he, with that excuse, he can thereby avoid this and not create Eva. Inami, another excuse. He can say, hey, I can't stop. I've got an appointment to be in court. Nikita le zimna le beidoar. I have another 5 minutes to get to court. And the idol worshipper in the pit would certainly understand that, and thereby the Jew is able to avoid saving the idol worshipper and not create Eva. Toni Rabbi Avo Kameh de Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Vo teaches the following Tanaic source in the presence of Rabbi Yochanan. The source is divided into two parts. We have a Roman numeral number 1, and the second will be labeled as with Roman numeral number 2, and the distinction will become fairly obvious. The first the first halacha. We actually saw this just a moment ago. The idol worshippers and shepherds of their own small cattle, lo malin, if they fall into a pit, one is not allowed to extricate them. V'loy maridin. How, on the other hand, though, we're not allowed to shove them in. In other words, we cannot raise a hand against them. Aval, however, contrasted with this is haminin v'amasoros v'amumrin, hayu maridin v'lo malin. These individuals, minim, are classified as either priests to idols or other characters that we will see in the Gemara, more references to minim and defining the term, that Rashi at this point refers to them as the priests to idol worshippers, whether they themselves be Gentile or Jewish, no distinction is made. These kind of people, mesoros, are people that are, that we call them, they squeal on others to the government, and as a result of their informants, and as a result of that, the victims lose money. They're informers, causing people to lose even money, let alone to lose their lives. So informers and mumrim, people that are knowing violators of certain things, they're of certain mitzvahs, they're knowing violators. Hayu meridin velo malin. Those people, one is allowed to raise their hand, one's allowed to shove them into a pit, in other words, kill them, and certainly, and not to save them. One would say, and certainly not to save them. The Gemara will deal with this double expression, where after you tell me meridin, it would seem fairly obvious that lo malin. Omar le, Rabbi Yochanan, after hearing this source, he responds and says, Ani shoine, I have the following teaching. L'chol avedas achicha. That's what the pasuk says. L'rabos is a mumar, that one is expected to restore a lost item, hashavas aveda, even to a mumar, even to someone who is a knowing sinner. I'm to restore his possessions to him. If I find his lost article, I give it back to him. V'ad amris hayu moridin, and you say regarding mumrin, you say you're allowed to kill them. Sami mikan mumar. We should erase from this source mumrin. Once again, it can't be, says Rabbi Yochanan, that here I'm commanded to return lost articles to them, and at the same time I'm allowed to kill them. Can't be. Therefore, erase mumrin from the source. The Gemara asks, Velishni le, could Rabbi Yochanan not have answered as follows? That in the realm of mumrim, you have two kinds of mumrim. Kan b'mumar uchel nevelus l'te'avon. If a person is a knowing violator because he happens to enjoy eating unkosher meat, that's his uchel nevelus l'te'avon. He has a desire for it, and he can't overcome his desire. And as a result of that, he's a knowing violator. But since he does it for his own self-satisfaction, he's the kind of person, he's not so bad. He, therefore, deserves to have his lost items returned to him. However, Khan, the source that said regarding Mumrin, Moridin, that you can kill them, that's a more severe violator. That's a Bemumar Ochel Nevelos Lahachis. That's a person, when presented with two plates, one has kosher food and one has unkosher food. And one has kosher meat and the other has unkosher meat. And he chooses specifically the unkosher meat, even though he had an equal opportunity to eat the kosher meat. And he chooses the unkosher. He's a mumar. He's a violator. He's a spiteful violator. He's doing it lahachis, to arouse the rage, the rage of Hashem, if you will. Or he's a spiteful violator. And that kind of person, could we not have said he is the moridin? So the question here is, why does Rabbi Yochanan say erase mumrin from the source that said moridin, when he could have interpreted mumrin in the source that we are moridin, or mumar lahachis? He's a spiteful violator. The Gemara says like this, Kosovar, Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion, Oichel Nevelus Lahachis, a person who is a spiteful violator, equals Minhu. He's already categorized under the heading Min. That was the first of the examples in the second section. So once Minim covers examples of spiteful violators, the word mumrim would be left for the deliberate violators, but do it out of desire and lust and self-satisfaction, And as far as those kind of people are concerned, Rabbi Yochanan says there's no way I can see that you can kill them when I am already commanded to restore to them their lost articles. Before we go any further, we have a topic heading on the outside margin, Nosei Hagdoras Min Umumar. The role of this Gemara will be to define or categorize what falls under the category of Min and what under Mumar. Itmar Mumar Pligi Be Rav Acha Ve Ravina. As far as categorizing things are concerned, we have a controversy between Rav Acha and Ravina. Chad Omar L'te'ovon equals Mumar, L'hachis equals Min Have. That one who is a, they're both knowing violators, but one who does so out of self-satisfaction, he is classified by the term Mumar, and someone who violates out of a spiteful nature is classified as a Min. V'chad Omar Afilu L'hachis Nami equals Mumar. The second opinion says that even someone who knowingly violates with spiteful intent is classified as a Mumar. Ela Ezu Min. Then what's left to be classified as a Min? Answer, Ze Ha'oved Elile Kechovim. An idol worshipper would be considered a Min. Meisve. We have a source, Ochal Parush Echod O Yitush Echod. Person consumes one of these insects, a parosh or a yitush. Now these are things, these are items that a person would never eat because of the good taste. We call the te'ovon, because of his desire for pleasure. And yet, it's called, one who eats these things knowingly, knowing that they're forbidden. The Torah forbids consuming most types of insects. And what does it say? Hareze mumar, it classifies him as a mumar. Well, the ha 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 de la hachis hu, anyone who eats yitushim and parushim, the only reason he's doing it is for spite. Vikotoni mumar, and yet he's called a mumar. So this is akasha on opinion number one. We noticed opinion number one, and with our dashed underlines, you can navigate really nicely. If you go up a few lines, you saw lahachis dashed underline equals min. Here we've dashed on lahachis and mumar. So lahachis is categorized as a mumar. That's a problem for opinion number one. The Gemara answers, in other words, opinion number one will say, Hossam, in the case of the Yitush and the Parush, that guy was really l'te'ovon. Bo'i l'mit'am taimo d'isura. He had a desire to taste the forbidden. Sometimes you hear the expression that stolen, mayim genuvim yimtaku, stolen waters are sweet. This person knew that Parush and Yitush are forbidden by the Torah to be consumed. So he had a desire to, not to spite the Torah, but he had a desire to taste the forbidden. So that's called te'ovon. And therefore, as far as opinion number one is concerned, someone who is actually spiteful can still be categorized as a min. This last example of the parush and yitush is not an example of lahachis. Omar Mar, we saw above the following, hoyu moridin avolo malin, regarding the more severe, we'll call the second set of characters in the source. They are to be thrown into a pit, in other words, they're to be killed and not to be saved. Hashto achusim achtinon, once you tell me that I lower them in, I throw them into the pit. Asuki mibaya, do I have to tell you that I don't raise them out, I don't take them out? It's obvious. Before we go further, let's glance at the topic heading and structural note that we've supplied to this section of Gemara. The Nosei Mivneh, Ha dikotoni moridin velo malin, that which the Mishnah teaches, throw them in and don't take them out. The lechora miutar, the dashed underline expression of velo malin seems on the surface to be extra. Bo lelameid, it comes to teach me something new. Sha'onu misalkin emtsoi milut, that we remove any escape possibilities that may exist. In other words, there are two separate halachas here. One is throw these people into a pit, and a second halacha is if you find someone like this in a pit, then, and there happens to be some type of escape mechanism available, so you're expected to remove the escape mechanism. we will see triangles that follow very shortly in the Gemara. These are three dugmois l'kach, three examples of escape opportunities that I am supposed to remove if I find the minim or the mesoros in the pit. Omar of Yosef Barhama, Omar of Sheshes, Loi Nitzrucha. The Mishnah is necessary. Shim Hoysa Malo Bebor. If there was a step inside the pit, in other words, I was walking by and I found someone in a pit, and there was one of these characters, of course, the Minim Masoros. I am expected to get rid of the stair. Let's read that again in the Gemara. Shim Hoysa. Shimhoisa mala babor megara, you would scrape away the stair, and you'll say, so how can you get away with that? The noked leila, the Jew can offer as an excuse the omar and say, lo techus chiyuso iluya, I'm taking away the step for your benefit so that some wild animals don't go down into the pit. In other words, if the step is gone, the animal will sense that the depth is too great and it won't jump in upon you. So I'm doing it for your benefit. Rabbi Rav Yosef, Damit Ravayu, Lo Yinitzucha, the Mishnah is necessary when it teaches Lo Malin, Shim Hoysa Even Al Pi Habor, if there was a stone by the edge of the pit, Mechase, you would be able to cover the pit and let him suffocate in the pit. Omar, and offer as an excuse why you're rolling the stone over the pit. I'm walking by with my flock of sheep, and they have to pass over here. I'm afraid if the pit is open, my animals will fall into the pit. So he can offer that excuse to explain why he's covering the pit. Ravina Omar, the Girsa adds here, Lo Nitzucha. The case of the Mishnah is necessary. She'im hoya sulam, if there was a ladder, misalko. And what kind of excuse could you offer for ripping away the ladder? Omar, and you could say, bo'ino la'chusi bri me'igra. I need the ladder to get my son off the roof. My son is at the edge of the roof, and I've got to help him get down, so I need the ladder. In the meantime, you're taking away the guy's, the fellow in the pit, his means of escape. Tana Rabbanan. We have a new discussion in the Gemara, and that's evidenced by the slash that you see before this sugya. And also at the side, we have a topic heading. The topic is Mila, circumcision. Al Yadei Goy, a goy serving as a moyel, as the circumciser, or lomu goy, or to circumcise the idol worshipper. And a second category dealt with is kus al yedei kusi. A kusi. A kusi is an individual whose conversion to Judaism historically was a little bit spurious. And hence they occupy a certain special category in halacha. We've seen kusim referred to in previous sugyas as well. But there is a distinction between an idol worshipper, an oivet kichovim, and a kusi. The kusi are people that they originally converted, however, they were found to continue worshipping certain images on Har Grizim. The Gemara talks about a yoina, a bird, a dove on Har Grizim, on the Mount of Grizim. So their affiliation with authentic Judaism is quite questionable. Tana Rabbanan, the source begins here. Yisrael mol es ha'evid kechavim l'shum ger. A Jew can circumcise an idol worshipper if the circumcision is for the purposes of conversion to Judaism. Lafuki l'shum murna delo, to the exclusion of circumcising him for murna. Murna we'll call in general is for health considerations or hygienic purposes. Literally, murna is a reference to a worm, that if the foreskin is left on one's body, so there's there are problems involving development of worms in that part of the anatomy, and so as to relieve someone from the suffering of these worms, one will seek out circumcision. So that is not allowed. In other words, for a Jew to provide this health service circumcising the idol worshiper for the sake of his health, that's not allowed. We got finished seeing already that regarding idol worshippers, we saw in the source that started at the bottom of Omen Aleph, Lo Imalin. We're not to help them save their lives. In other words, we're not here to help them in any helpful way. Continuing in the source here, the Oyvei Kechavim Lo Yomul Yisrael, an idol worshipper is not to serve as a moil, as a circumciser for a Jewish baby, because the Oyvei Kechavim are suspect of murder, Divrei Rabbi Meir. V'chachomim omrim, Oyvei Kechavim Mol Es Yisrael, Bizman Shachirim Oymdim Al Gabo. An idol worshipper can serve as a moil, as a circumciser, provided others are standing by. Even though, through our marking system, we haven't taken note of this as an additional source, but in your mind's eye, at least, or those of you who want to add markings, this would be an example of another source where you have Rabbi Meir taking a strict opinion where regarding the Ovid Kechavim. This is in addition to what we saw already regarding the Mialedes and the Hanoka, the midwife issue and the wet nurse issue. However, there is a distinct difference in Rabbi Meir's opinion, and in the sense that there is a possibility of the Israel serving the Gentile in the case of Mila, where in the case of the midwife and wet nurse, the Rabbi Meir took an absolute stance of Jew cannot serve the idol worshipper. Of course, the example of him serving here is also limited. It's only if it's L'shem Gerus, but in general, there is a parallel to the previous sources in the sense that Yisrael cannot serve the as a moil, just like not serve as midwife or serve as wet nurse, so to not serve as moil for health reason, if the purpose is health or hygienic. Also, a distinction to be made is that in this source, Rabbi Huda's name is not featured, whereas in the previous sources that we just made reference to, well, let us correct ourselves. In fact, it is parallel. That was a slight mistake there, that there rather it is parallel, and that the Chachomim are the ones that disagree. So, for those of you who are true marking enthusiasts, you might want to classify this as a third example as part of the series of sources that were featured on Amud Aleph. On the other hand, it's sufficiently far away from those sources that we don't have to add this to the list. We're now continuing in the Gemara, focusing on the issue of Mila, of circumcision, Shitas Rabbi Meir, and we'll then deal with Shitas Chachomim. The Gemara continues. After having seen the Shitas Chachomim, says that an Ovid Kechavim, an idol worshipper, can serve as a moil to mal, a Jewish kid, if he is being overseen by others. What about Rabbi Meir, who restricts that? Why? Rabbi Meir Omer Afilu Achirim Umdim Al Gaboi Nami Loi. Even with others supervising, I am not going to allow an idol worshipper to serve as circumciser. Why? The Zimnin De Matzli Lei Sakino. Matzli means to tilt. That he may tilt the knife that's being used for removing the foreskin, but he might tilt it, umashvile kruz shafcha, and actually cut the male the tubes that are inside the male organ and render him what's called a kruz shafcha, someone who is incapable of procreation in the future. Therefore, since we've said earlier, the idea of sleight of hand by a quick hand movement, he would be able to do this and get away with it, so it doesn't help because it's such a slight movement. The fact that others are present isn't going to prevent this from happening. The Gemara now asks, regarding Rabbi Meir, is it really so that idol worshipper cannot serve as a moil? We will shortly present a source which suggests the opposite. Question: V'savar Rabbi Meir oivin kechovim lo v'raminu. Is it so that Rabbi Meir holds that an idol worshiper cannot serve as a moel? We have a contradictory source now. Ir she'ein bo roife Yisrael, v'yesh bo roife kusi v'roife oive kuchavim. The term rofe is often translated as doctor, but for our purposes it's a reference to someone who knows how to circumcise. So if you have a city that does not have a Jewish moel in it, but has a kusi and an oved kechavim that know how to do it, I've got to make a choice. Yimol oved kechavim ve'al yomul kusi, divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, I would prefer the idol worshiper. The idol worshiper shall serve as the moel and not the kusi. The idol worshiper will, when he does it, he doesn't circumcise with his idol in mind, because it's not the style or the way, the derech of serving idols through circumcision. However, the kusi is not allowed to mal, because he will do the circumcision with his image of the dove on the Mount Gerizim in mind. So it's sort of an idolatrous mindset that the kusi will have when he's doing the Mila. What we've done with our markings, we've dashed underlined the key expressions. We see Yimol Oyve Kehovim, and we dash underline Rabbi Meir's name. So Rabbi Meir is allowing idol worshipper to serve as Moyol. If we just skip above a number of lines, we've employed the dashed underline as well. There it said Oyve Kehovim Lo Yimol Yisrael, and that's associated with Rabbi Meir, hence a contradiction. We continue in the source. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yimol Kusi Ve'al Yimol Ovei Kehovim. Rabbi Yehuda says, I would prefer the Kusi, I opt for the Kusi to serve as the Moel, and not the idol worshipper, because the idol worshipper is suspect of committing murder. For our purposes, though, we have to focus right now on Shitas Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara says, Epuch, switch the source, switch the opinions in the source around, and read as follows. Rabbi Meir Omer Yimol Kusi Velo Ovei Kehovim. This would make Rabbi Meir here in this second source consistent with what we saw above, forbidding idol worshipper to serve as Moel. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ovei Kehovim Velo Kusi. And since we switched things around, Rabbi Yehuda gets switched around as well, and he's saying, I prefer the idol worshipper and not prefer the Kusi. Now the Gemara focuses on Rabbi Yehuda. V'sav Rabbi Yehuda v'kehovim shapir dami. Is it really so that Rabbi Yehuda would allow the idol worshipper? V'hatanya. We have a Tanaic source, and of course take note of the emphasis. We have dashed underline. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Minayin l'mila v'kehovim shehi psula. We have dashed underline shehi psula as well. So Rabbi Yehuda pasels the v'kehovim shenemar v'ata es prisi tishmor. From that posuk, we learn that you must keep the covenant, meaning the bris milah, and not idol worshippers. Elo, the olam lo tepuch. So the Gemara here takes a new stance and says, don't switch around the sources. Now, if I'm not going to switch around the sources, do I not run into the Rabbi Meir contradiction problem? In other words, in the original source, we saw Rabbi Meir forbidding idol worshipper. And then in the second source that featured the city that had no Jewish moel in it, we saw, without the switch around, Rabbi Meir allowing the idol worshipper to do the milah. So the Gemara says, in fact, keep the sources as they were originally. The Hochav Emayaskinon, the source that allows the idol worshipper to serve as a moel, the roife mumche, he is a professional, and as a result of his being a professional, he wouldn't want to ruin his reputation. We saw above that Rabbi Meir was afraid of allowing an idol worshipper, even if others were watching, because of the fear of his ruining the procreation possibilities of the baby, making him a krus shofcha. But if he's a rofe mumcha, if he has a reputation at stake, he wouldn't want to mess up the milah. He wouldn't want to mess up on his job. Dechi osa ravdimi omer rav yochanan im hoya mumcha l'rabim. If the person is known by the public as an expert, muter, then it would be allowed for him, even if he's an idol worshipper, it would be allowed for him to do the Mila. the Gemara itself continues analyzing the other shitos. We're going to be focusing, we're going to refocus on Rebbe Yehuda, and that we will, Mirz Hashem, deal with in our next shiur. So with that, we conclude our shiur for today.